The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Back-to-back action at SAP Center at San Jose tonight. Here we are at Sharks Ice at San Jose, checking out the San Jose Sharks as they get set to face off against the Calgary Flames. Drew, I've been listening to a lot of classic rock with organ music lately, and the reason why is because there's a lot of organ music in hockey games, and for some reason I keep going back to two songs. One of them, Iron Butterfly, Inagata De Vida, and the other one, Argent, Hold Your Head Up. I think that latter one might be a theme that the Sharks need to have after really what was a disastrous third period yesterday.
I don't even know how to begin talking about the things that are happening, Danny, with the Sharks in the third periods. By my count, in the last 10 games, they've lost 7 by one goal. A couple of those also were empty netters. So I just say it's a one-goal game.
Agreed.
The 8-1, 3-1 games against Florida and Tampa, or Tampa and Florida. But other than that, they have played some very hard competitive hockey, but have come up way short, which is a third of the game short. And I don't know how to explain it anymore. You and I talked about it last night, that they had to keep moving their feet. They had to be skating to kill plays. They had to make sure that, you know, they were doing all the right things and having the right amount of bodies, 5 guys connected in every zone. And they didn't do that. And in critical moments, and you know how much I believe in critical moment hockey, in the critical moment of the game where they were going to get a power play, everything just changed. It's like that. But good teams recognize critical moments. So when you look at it, the Sharks have got to be better in those and realize what that situation entails.
Is it because they're relaxing when they get the power play, thinking, okay, I think I feel pretty good? Or what is it? Or are they squeezing the sticks tighter because they're feeling the pressure of all these third periods?
That's a great question, pal. I wish I knew. I just think that they don't understand, like, how important that moment is. Like, I don't think they relax. I don't think they get nervous. I just think they're like, here we go. Let's go. Next shift. Power play. Okay. But they don't understand that this could win you the hockey game or lose you the hockey game.
I was talking to Jamal Mayers during his recent stint, doing Cutter with me, and he talked about that. He said, you have to understand how to grab a hold of the critical moment in a game, but the first thing you have to do is understand that it is a critical moment in the game, and when you do, then you grab a hold of it.
Yeah.
To me, that's developing a killer instinct. And that's something we've been talking about for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Ryan Warsawski has said, and Jamal Mayers, I have nothing but admiration and respect for Jamal. He's so smart. 900-plus games in the National Hockey League, plus a plethora of playoff games. The guy knows what he's talking about. That I think it's the lack of recognition / urgency that they don't quite get, that they don't understand, that this is the moment. So every game's got that, sometimes more than one. And the Sharks have not been able in the critical moments to, I think, recognize it more than anything.
What really hurts for me is that this happened in front of a sellout crowd.
No.
That's the part that kills you.
Absolutely. It's disappointing. Fans are so great. As they came out last night, they were boisterous. They were hungry for a win. It's Christmas time or, you know, near Year's. And that happens, and we've seen it the last number of years where the big crowd comes out, we're trying to get them back, and the Sharks fans are wonderful, but then that happened. So it's disappointing. So that brings you to your original point. Hold your head up. You better, because it's a new game and a new day.
And they have to, because the Calgary Flames are playing improved hockey. A local kid, Dustin Wolf, is going to be in goal. He's somebody that's going to get a lot of attention, and he should, because he's a kind of a throwback goalie. All the goalies now are 6'4", 6'5", some of them are 6'7", it seems. They're big, they're athletic, they cover a lot of the net. But this kid plays an old-school kind of a goaltending. You know, it reminds me in some ways of Evgeny Nabokov, his childhood hero.
Yeah, he's smaller. He has been the best goalie in the AHL for the last 2.5 years. They brought him up last year. He was goalie of the year for 2 years straight. Talking to Mitch Love, who was the head coach with Stockton at the time, he said, it made me a way better coach than I was, because that's what good goaltenders do. Extremely athletic, extremely quick. There's a lot to like about Dustin Wolf. He is, for Calgary, their future in net.
What's interesting is that Yaroslav Askarov, who's likely to get the starting goal today for the San Jose Sharks, is the same thing for San Jose. And the same reaction, too.
Yeah.
Look what's happened to the Barracuda since he's left and come to the NHL. They've had a little bit of a lull. I'm not blaming Georgiev, and I'm not blaming Aaron Dell, who's there.
Right.
But it's just how good Askarov has been, and it's how good Wolf has been.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to see two young goaltenders tonight in this game that are the futures for each of their team, that the team's saying, these are our guys that will lead us to our next, you know, when the Flames were great and when the Sharks were great, this is what both general managers and scouting staffs are hoping for. And when you've seen the early returns of the talent and the abilities of both of them, you think to yourself, yeah, I can see why, because they both, even though they're very different goaltenders, they both do a terrific job at stopping the puck and leading their team.
Good news for the Sharks is the last game we saw a lot of excitement with Celebrini, Zetterlund, and Smith. That's at least a little bit of a silver lining in what turned out to be a dark cloud.
Yeah, absolutely. They play well together, I think. And you and I talked about it between the second and third period on the Sharks Audio Network, that Smith and Celebrini, they're very close. They're really good friends, and they play like they know where each other's going to be. They spark each other. I thought that they were, as you said, that line was really good. And I think it was because that Smith was comfortable with Celebrini. Celebrini knows where Smith's going to be. And Fabian Zetterlund was moving his feet. And I can't say that for all the lines.
No, and he won 50-50 battles, which is another thing that's going to be a key thing tonight. That's another
time,
thing you have
right?
to do when you're seizing the day.
Yeah, all the time, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, those 50-50 pucks, those competitions for the puck along the boards, or as you, on that one goal you talked about, the Luke Madulin's goal, he won that puck after the face-off. And you have to be on your toes on that. So, yeah, you need those guys, and you need more of that from other individuals.
Let's talk about the Calgary Flames. I'm looking at their defense, and I'm looking at it, and I am underwhelmed. I mean, Mackenzie Weegar's a good player.
Yep.
Anderson's a good player. But Ball, Hanley, Pahal, Bean, I mean, they're NHL players, but they don't blow me away. They're big and they're strong, and they can move, but this is not the Vegas defense. I'd have to say that the Sharks, if they play the way they do the first two periods, even close to it, they're going to get their opportunities tonight. Now, the other side of it, they got to have the puck.
Yeah.
And one thing the Flames do with that Huberto, Kadri, and Pospisil line is they hold the puck in the offensive zone, and they basically carry out the game plan that the Sharks really had last night, and that was to hold the puck in the offensive zone as much as possible, frustrate the opposition who gets impatient that they can't play their game. That's what the Flames try to do.
100%. You're right on the money. You don't need me here. You can just break this down all by yourself. You're absolutely right. Their team likes to hang on the puck. The Huberdeau line is very big. They're strong. They're great along the boards. Huberdeau is finding a resurgence in Calgary. He's got 25 points in 34 games. He's played very well. He says he feels his best that he's felt since he left Florida. So that's good news for him. And that line is carrying that team, without a doubt.
We'll see what happens today. Slightly earlier today for our airtime on the Sharks Audio Network. We'll be on the air at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock face-off. Ted Ramey's going to float over and join me, and we'll see Drew between periods 2 and 3. And we've got lots of great action coming right here on the Sharks Audio Network. So make sure you tune in. Until then, that's it for the morning skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.